Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. You know, few opportunities in life come without an obstacle or two. You know, think about an opportunity you've been given. Maybe someone just messaged you that they have free movie tickets that they want to give you. That's great. But you have the obstacle of your schedule to consider, perhaps rearranging other obligations to free up your time. Or maybe you have a friend, a really good friend, who just discovered she has an extra plane ticket to the islands, and she wants you to go with her for a girls' trip over Easter. Well, wonderful. But you have family expecting you to visit them then. And you've got your job. So now you need to figure out how to juggle those things. Not to mention it's been a while since you've seen your bathing suit or seen yourself in it. Or maybe the opportunity comes in the form of a new job position. It's the ministry you've always been wanting, but it'll require a move across the country and some additional training and new skills to do that job. Well, it sounds perfect, but what about your hubby's job? What about the kids? What about selling your house, finding a new one, leaving the comfort where you are, the cost of the new skill training, even a possible pay cut from your current corporate job? Yeah, there are few opportunities that come without some type of obstacle you have to overcome first. Now, sometimes the obstacles are just a matter of rearranging a few things to overcome them, but often the obstacles are much bigger and more consequential. Sometimes the obstacles look downright impossible. Well, you know, it's in the impossible-looking obstacles where God does His best work. You know, the Hebrew nation learned that when they left captivity in Egypt. Remember the 10 plagues and God's protection from them? Well, that was a good starter. Then came the parting of the Red Sea, guidance of a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, the provision of manna and water and other provisions for 40 years, just to name a few. Yes, they had seen God do His best work in the impossible-looking obstacles. And now, they were at the edge of stepping into the promised land. But first, they faced another impossible-looking obstacle, the Jordan River at flood stage. Now, before we think, well, what's the big deal? They'd seen God part an entire sea previously for them to walk through. Remember, that was 40 years ago. And those who had experienced the Red Sea miracle as adults had since died. And those who were alive had been young children back then. So here they were, looking at the Jordan River, a huge obstacle between them and where they wanted to go. The Jordan at flood stage was both deep and wide, and they had no provisions to build boats to get the hundreds of thousands or maybe a million or more people across. How were they to overcome this impossible-looking obstacle? Well, let's put ourselves in their sandals for a moment, shall we? Let's look at Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Then Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Oh yes, the Lord was about to involve His people in this impossible-looking solution to get from where they were to where He wanted to take them. But there were a few steps God wanted His people to take first, steps that He wants us to take when we face an impossible-looking obstacle. First, they would need to spend some time in prayer and worship to get their hearts right. In Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves, meaning get your hearts right before the Lord. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the author of our book study, Conquering the Fear of Failure, writes this about consecrating themselves on pages 69 and 70. He writes, "Notice the spiritual preparations needed for this step of faith. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you," Joshua said in verse 5. The Israelites expected the Lord to fight for them. If the Israelites expected the Lord to fight for them, sin would have to be put away. Greed, sexual misconduct, and pride would have to be confessed and forsaken. But perhaps the greatest sin lurking in their hearts was fear. The feeling that Joshua may have misread God's instructions or that God would allow them to go through more grief than they were prepared to handle. Consecration, he writes, also involves receiving God's promises, meaning accepting what God has said at face value. He goes on to write, "This does not mean that they or we have to be perfect before we attempt anything for God. It does mean that we must expose everything God shows us about ourselves. We must give it all to Him in honest submission. Bit by bit, the change will take place. Our Jordan will look much smaller once we have confessed our sin and yielded wholly to God. It is not always important that we understand how God will take care of a special need. What is necessary is that we be spiritually prepared to accept whatever God might do." So first, we must confess our fears and our worries and our sins to God and get our hearts ready to receive what God wants to do. Then, secondly, we focus our eyes on God. Just as God's people were to keep their eyes on the Ark of the Covenant, remember that 4-foot-long wooden case-like trunk carried on poles on the shoulders of the priests, which symbolized the presence of God, they were to keep their eyes on it as they crossed the Jordan, just as we today are to keep our eyes on God to lead us through whatever obstacle we need to get through. Our author writes this. On page 71 and 72, he writes, "Today, Christ is our ark. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the good shepherd who leads his sheep. Sheep are not expected to find their own way. They are simply to follow the shepherd." He goes on to write, "Christ would never expect us to cross a river that he himself has not first crossed. Everything he asks us to do is based on what he has already done. It is following a path that already has his footprints. There is no river that God expects you to cross, but that God has already crossed it. We begin with Christ on the journey, and he stays a step ahead of us to the end. Our greatest challenge is to keep our focus on him." So we confess our sins and fears, and then we keep our eyes on God to lead us, which takes us to the third step in overcoming an impossible-looking obstacle, and that is to start moving. Get up, walk, do. Our author writes this starting on 73. He writes, "The priests had to take a step of faith. They would have to stand in the flowing river. Joshua told them, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.' The water would not stop flowing until they got wet. God would do the rest." And so it was. When the priests who carried the ark stepped into the swift-flowing Jordan, God intervened. The waters, which were flowing down from above, stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away from a dam. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, verse 16 tells us. He goes on to write, "Sometimes we fear surrender to God. thinking he might make impossible demands. But whatever God commands us to do, he gives us the grace to do it. The impossible becomes possible when we choose to obey regardless of our fears. God's miracles are thorough, right to the last detail. The people did not need to wipe their feet when they got to the other side. They crossed over on dry ground. Like Israel, we all walk a path we have never seen before. Each day is a new experience. A doctor may tell us we have cancer. A child may be injured in an accident. A teen may rebel against God. We may be unjustly fired from our job or discover that our investments have gone sour. We may have to face 100 injustices from those we thought were our friends. In these and 1,000 other circumstances, we can be confident that we are not heading into the future alone. What is the great lesson we learn from Israel? No river is too crooked. No river is too deep. No river is too swift, but that God is able to help us through it. And he concludes, many valleys flatten out once we take a step toward them, believing God for a miracle. And if no path appears, God is still there. Hebrews 13:5. Tells us, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. A yielded heart will take us through the river that leads to the promised land. So how do we conquer fear and overcome obstacles? We prepare our hearts, keep our eyes on God, and take the first step, knowing we do not travel alone. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth, at spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.